Salvation is free, but discipleship is very costly. Pursuing God's will requires sacrifice. And this is not, you see, some of us want to be Christians, but we want, as I said, we want to be Christians our way.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Most of us at some point find ourselves desperately wanting God's guidance about some crucial decision that must be made. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant will take us through a decision process of finding God's guidance demonstrated in the life of Abraham, that great man of faith. As our series taken from the life of Abraham draws near to the end, we find Abraham making some crucial decisions that would have great impact upon his descendants after he was gone. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 24 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Keys to God's Guidance. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A flight attendant spent a week vacationing in the Rockies, and she was really captivated by the mountain peaks, but she was even more so captivated by John, a handsome guy, a rich guy, a bachelor, who lived in a $3 million log cabin. He's a cabin guy. You've seen these fabulous cabins on TV. At the end of the week, John proposed. But of course, the flight attendant, she felt this had happened so quickly, and so she decided to wait for God's guidance. On her flight home the next day, she was wondering what to do about John's proposal, and she stopped in the restroom for a minute, and while she was in the restroom, the plane ran into turbulence, and a sign lit up, "Please return to the cabin." Now, of course, most of us would assume and would know that that sign meant we were to return to our seat. We were to stop doing whatever we were doing, amen, and get back to the seat because we were in turbulent situations. But not this flight attendant, not this love-struck flight attendant. When she saw the sign, "Return to the cabin," she assumed it was a sign from God that she was to return to the $3 million log cabin. So once the flight landed, she took off to go see John and accept his proposal for marriage and to visit his $3 million cabin. You know, it's amazing what people will use as a sign of God's guidance. I knew a man who went to church, and that was not a true story, but this one is. I knew a man who was praying for a wife. He wanted God's guidance, God to lead him to a wife. And he went to church one Saturday. The church was, windows were open, the doors were open, but there was no service. He went in, he knelt down and he prayed, "God, please send me a wife." And when he finished praying, there was a lady standing at the window looking in on him praying. And he knew God had guided him. Do you know he went and proposed right on the spot? And do you know she accepted the proposal? I could preach on that, but that's not my topic today. I want to talk to you about how do we find out God's guidance? Because all of us need God's guidance. In fact, I suspect there's somebody here this morning, you are anxious, you're desperate to find God's guidance because there are some decisions you need to make and you want to make sure you have got it right. And I don't want anybody just locking themselves in a room and seeing somebody through the window and say, "God guided me." Amen? In Genesis 24, Abraham's servant found himself in desperate need of God's guidance. Abraham had commissioned him to go back to his home country to find a wife for his son. And he knew the answer was not to go somewhere and look through a window. This man knew this was going to be a tough task to find the right wife for Isaac. And so he was looking for God's guidance. Our theme today, keys to God's guidance. Key number one, are you ready? Key number one, stop praying about what God has revealed. You say, Pastor, how are you going to tell us to stop praying? Let me tell you again, stop praying about what God has commanded. When God has already revealed his will, we don't need to pray for guidance. Am I right about it? We need to obey. So when you're mad at somebody, you need not ask for guidance if you should forgive them. Amen. God has already spoken on that subject. And there are a lot of subjects. If you would take your Bible and open it. In fact, every Sunday you come here, you hear about commands, instructions that God has given. And some of us, we come to church, but we have no intention of obeying God. We would rather pray for guidance. Stop praying for guidance when God has spoken. When God has spoken, we obey. So that's why in Genesis 24, Abraham did not waste time praying if he should choose a Canaanite wife for Isaac. And so in verse number 3 of Genesis 24, it says, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. God had evidently revealed to Abraham the spiritual necessity of separation. This would eventually become part of the law. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, we read these words, you shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. The issue isn't race, it's grace. I'm sure some of you, you know, if you notice from time to time, the Lord allows us to talk about this. And the reason the Lord wants us to keep talking about this is because this is one of the hardest things to get through to us. Because somehow there is something in us that is determined to do what we want to do. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, listen, if you give your sons and your daughters to them, it says they will serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused. You said, Brother Brian, that's Old Testament, so therefore I may as well take your New Testament. Hold your finger in Genesis 24 while you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And young person, I want to make sure every young person, every unmarried person, you may be older and you're unmarried, you need to make sure you underline this verse and really make sure you grab a hold of what the verse is saying. It says, do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? I can see her now. She's saved, but she has feelings for this unsaved man. He's suave, he's debonair, he's Mr. Hot. Good bank account, good education. He treats her like a lady. Oh, he's nicer than some of them Christian fellows. And she really likes him. And so she approaches her friends, her Christian friends, and she says, please pray that the Lord will guide me about what to do. Listen good. Stop waste time praying. God has already spoken. And what we do, it's almost as if we believe God is about to change his mind just for you. I am so special. God is going to change his mind. He's going to change his word. But listen, he has no intention of changing his mind. He has spoken. So you need not ask for guidance. Listen, I hope you're with me this morning. What you need to do is say, God, please give me a willingness to obey you. Amen. By the way, this verse is not only about marriage. Because sometimes we make the mistake of going into business relationships. We yoke ourselves with unbelievers. We get linked in. We get tied in. We are in deep partnerships where we are fully responsible with unsaved people. And God says, don't become unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I can tell you personally, I've made the mistake of doing it in business. And I can tell you there is a price to pay. So I'm not just preaching and saying this. I may as well fess up. You know, I'll tell you. I made a business arrangement. And in my heart, I did exactly what some of us do. In my heart, I was troubled about it. And I went to some spiritual men and asked for counsel if I was doing the right thing. And they said I was. I should go ahead in the business. Well, listen, God had spoken to me. Why was I so troubled? I was really trying to get somebody to bless it. And that's what we do sometimes when we don't want to obey God. Some people will even shop pastors. Amen. Oh, you know, sometimes I hear people say, I heard pastor so-and-so on the radio, and he said such and such was okay. You can keep shopping till you'll find somebody who will bless what you want to do. Somebody somewhere will bless it. But I'm here to ask you and to challenge you that when God has spoken, stop praying for guidance, stop seeking guidance, and just say, God, I'm going to obey you. So one, let's determine to obey what God has commanded. Amen. Let us determine to obey what God has commanded. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
This is a lesson not only for singles, but also for parents. Because sometimes parents are more interested in somebody's education and financial prospects rather than their spiritual condition. But secondly, I'm still on key number one, determined to obey what God has commanded, but determined to operate based on what God has promised. And in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 7, you can see an illustration of what I'm saying here. The Lord God of heaven, verse 7, who took me from my father's house, this is Abraham speaking, and from the land of my family, listen, God had promised Abraham something. And here's what Abraham said. And who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. God promised me. He was giving this land to my descendants. And Abraham said, he will send his angel before you. Perhaps the servant was Eliezer. Eliezer, he will send his angel before you. And you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from your oath. Only do not take my son back. There, Abraham says, listen, God has made me a promise. God has promised my descendants this land, and I am going to operate based on the promise of God. And he says, listen, make sure you do not take my son out of this place that God has promised him. Are you getting it? We need to determine to obey what God has commanded, but we need to operate based on what God has promised. Every promise in the book is mine. And one of the great promises is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Where in Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, my God, help me out, shall what? Supply what? Say that. My God shall what? Supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that promise? I have a feeling if we believe that promise, it would change some of our choices. If we really believe, come on now, if we really believe that God would fulfill his promise to supply our needs, would we have taken that job that has pulled us away from growing in Jesus? The trick of the devil is to pull you away from the word of God. And I want to challenge you. Some of you are parents and singles. Regardless of your circumstance, you need to make sure that you do not fall prey to the trick of the devil and allow yourself and your family to be pulled away from the things of God and from growing in Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. My God is not short. I can honor him. I could tell you some personal stories, but I don't want to, because I don't want to use too much of my own illustrations. But I tell you, God has been so good. Number three. Third thing I want to say about that first key. Listen good, I want you to get this one, because I almost missed it as I was studying. Accepting what God has revealed sets boundaries for our decision making. Accepting what God has revealed. When we have accepted his commands and when we decide to operate on his promises, we suddenly find that we have gotten some good boundaries for decision making. You see, if we would simply operate within those parameters, a lot of the problems, a lot of the bad decisions we make would disappear, because some of our choices would be gone. Are you with me this morning? Are you still with me? If you would go by this, some of the decisions you make about who to marry would have disappeared. Am I right about that? If you operated within these parameters, some of the decisions about which job to take would disappear. If you operated within these parameters, some of your business decisions would be different. God's commands and his promises ought to set boundaries. And if we don't get anything else, get that. God's commands and his promises ought to set boundaries for our decisions. One of the Eagles quarterbacks that I love the most is Randall Cunningham. And a couple months ago, Nick and I had the pleasure to meet him and hear his testimony for Christ. But when Randall Cunningham released a pass into the end zone, he was always aware of a line at the back of the end zone. Some of you ladies might be getting this, but I hope to make it clear. You see, when Randall released the ball into the end zone, there is a line at the back of the end zone. If the receiver receives the ball before the line, there is huge celebration. Am I right about it? The place goes wild. Why? Touchdown! The ball is received inbounds. But if the ball is received out of bounds, nobody celebrates, because there is a boundary. Outside of the boundary, there are no points. Outside of the boundary, there is no need for celebration. You say, what are you trying to say? Listen, if you want to live your life out of bounds, go ahead. But don't think you are racking up any points in heaven. Are you with me?
Do it your way. God, his commands and his promises have set these boundaries. And if you want to go outside of the boundaries, go ahead. But don't think you are racking up any points. But here's something else I want to say. Because what is starting to happen in the Christian church is that people want to live out of bounds. They want to play out of bounds. But they want everybody to celebrate. When you receive the pass out of bounds, I hope you understand me. Don't be mad at me if I don't celebrate. When the play is out of bounds, we don't celebrate when the ball is caught out of bounds. So I want to challenge you, all of us, as I challenge my own heart, let us, by the grace of God, seek to live our lives in bounds. Amen. That's when there's time for celebration. That's when points are racked up in heaven, when we're living according to God's principles and according to God's word, not just doing it my way. That was good enough for Frank Sinatra. But it ain't good enough in God's word. Key number two, make sure you're in the way. Make sure you're in the way. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 27, the servant said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master." I love how the King James Version puts it. I grew up on the King James, and the King James said it this way: "I be in the way, the Lord led me." I love it. I being in the way. I can hear my dad preaching on that right now. I being in the way, the Lord led me. When we talk about being in the way, we're talking about pursuing God's will. Here's two things I want to point out about this key. Getting in the way requires sacrifice. Getting in the way. If we're going to pursue God's will, it is going to require sacrifice. And in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 10, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Getting in the way requires sacrifice. Why am I saying that? Because Mesopotamia was over 500 miles from Canaan. And my research tells me that when camels are traveling together in a caravan, they usually only do 18 to 20 miles a day. So this trip would have taken about 1 month one way. I don't want you to miss that. This is not some walk in the park. This is a 1 month trip each way. Salvation is free, but discipleship is very costly. Pursuing God's will requires sacrifice. And this is not, you see, some of us want to be Christians, but we want, as I said, we want to be Christians our way. We just want a nice back rub from Jesus. "Jesus, just keep rubbing my back. Anytime I scratch, just scratch it for me. God be my butler. God, get me a cup of tea." We're not serious about a God who has demands. We're not serious about pursuing a relationship that requires sacrifice. But discipleship is very costly. You say, why is discipleship so costly? You see, in Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him" what? "Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You say, why do I have to be so close to God? Why do I need to do that? Listen, are you listening to me this morning? Most of the time God is going to speak to you, he speaks in a still, small voice.
My friend,
Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.